this is Jonathan Paley of the Paley Brothers, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC ACRA.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you'll do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
Wavefarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Edward Ruschalski of Syracuse, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming, WGXC, 90.7 FM. Grabbable, handleable, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Somebody wear me to the fair? Will a lady pin me in her hair? Will a child find me by a stream?
See the flower. If he looks within, Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Claire. I'm from Athens, and I'm 8.
I'm Amelia. I am 21 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. Excited to have you all here. We're often joined by our friends, Georgia and Fatia, but they are not here at the moment. So we're going to talk about some books and bookish things and so on. So, Claire, do you want to get us started today?
Okay. So I sort of have two books to share. Mm-hmm. This is Flying with the Eagle, Racing the Great Bear. It's all about like Indian folk tales. And the reason I had to read it, well, I didn't have to read it, but we're doing this assignment. We had to make like really big flags out of fabric or paper of like a different indigenous nation. I'm doing the Osage Nation, and so my mom and dad just like picked out a few books, and this is one of them. It's by Stories from Native North America, told by Joseph Brunschak.
Yeah, that's the same person that wrote the book that you shared last week, The 13 Moons on Turtle's Back.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you seen Gordon?
I have. I love that book.
Me too. I read it a long time ago, but that was before I was doing this, and then I found it again, and I was like, oh, yeah.
So it's Have You Seen Gordon?
Adma Jane Epstein and Ruth Chan. Have You Seen Gordon? And yeah, it's not just a book about this. It's like sort of a story, too. And there's a hidden message. Mm. Did you find hidden message?
I can't remember. I read it a while ago, but I remember liking it a lot for the reason that you said that there's like, you're trying to find Gordon, but then there's also a storyline that goes along with it. And I feel like there's lots of other fun things hidden in it. Maybe that's the mystery, the mysterious messages.
And there's also...
What is Gordon? I forget. Is he like an identifiable creature?
Or is he just some... don't know what he is. He like has like a long... snout, and he's purple and fuzzy. He has four fingers
on each hand,
and he wears a t-shirt.
Is it like a Hawaiian t-shirt?
Yeah, it's like Hawaiian or Florida t-shirt. That's all.
That's a nice assortment of books. And you're working on a special project now, huh? Mm-hmm. Did you want to tell people what you're working on?
Mm-hmm. So I'm making a newspaper for my school. I came up with the idea for one, and I just started doing it. Cool. And I'm doing it right now, although I stopped when I showed you guys the books.
What kind of articles are going to be on the newspaper?
Well, like I asked kids like what to advertise and stuff. I'm gonna advertise Koala Cafe, tape balls, the soccer team, the Flaming Chihuahuas, and Remix Triplets. Yeah, Remix okay. Triplets.
Sounds interesting. I used to work on the newspaper in middle school, or I guess elementary school, maybe even too. I can't remember. I found some really old newspapers that I think were from elementary school recently in like a box of my stuff at my childhood home. And I also worked on newspaper in high school too, but I did not work on it in college. That's when I gave up. But it was very different every single year, like as technology sort of developed and what we could do. I think by high school, I was mostly taking photos, and doing layout stuff. I don't think I did much writing in high school. That's fun. I look forward to seeing your final newspaper. I hope you'll show us.
Well,
not today, but when you're done.
What do you mean? Like, it's only going to be for like kids at my school. I'm only going to like give it out to kids at my school at recess, but I will talk to you guys about it when I'm done this one. I'm going to make whole series. I don't know if I'm going to make whole series of them. My teacher said that I asked my teacher about it, and she said that I could, well, since I made it up, I asked her if I could do it, and she said, what if you, like, do the first publish and then see how it goes? So I'm making that right now. It's called Popsicle News.
Popsicle News.
And I made this cool drip line. I put some paper over my paper at the ends, and I drew the drips.
Cool.
And that's it.
That's it. Well, thank you for sharing all of that.
You're welcome.
Good luck with your newspaper career.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, Amelia, what did you want to talk about today?
What do I ever talk about? Well, I have a new Junji Ito thing. Not a book this time, but actually an art book of a bunch of his work. Just the artistry he does. It's called The Art of Junji Ito, Twisted Visions. And it's separated into sections. The first two sections are his two most famous works at the time that this was published. Because there are other illustrations in here that I recognize from other books, but they aren't labeled as being from those books. So I wonder if this was made before they were as popular. But the two main stories highlighted are Uzumaki and Tomie. And in the back, there is a really awesome interview with him that they took down, which is really cool. And I am going to read that later after I'm finished looking through this whole book, because it is a very, very, very pretty, pretty book. I love art books, even though there isn't much to technically read in them. They are very nice to look at. And also, and I think I've mentioned this before, but while Junji Ito is mostly known for horror manga, he does have a few small, like, sections of work where he just pretty much talks about his cat. His several cats. He has two cats whose names are Yan and Mu, and he has a little comic strip about them where he just talks about his cats, and it's very cute and very wholesome and very different from all of his other work. So you'll be looking through this art book at all these horrifying illustrations, and then you'll just come across one of a kitty cat. And I think the kitty cats are very cute and very startling to run into in this book, but they're a bit of levity.
There's a comic artist who's published some books, but also does a lot of like web comics that are like just like a square kind of comic, like four frame or four, what are they called? Not frames, I'm blanking on the word. Panels.
Panels,
yeah. So very simple, like kind of jokey comics. And a lot of them have a cat in them, which I guess is supposed to be their cat. And recently I followed them on social media and they posted, it's Sarah Anderson is the name of the comic. And recently she posted a picture of her cat. And she was like, people often ask me, my cat really looks like that. And here it is. And it looked exactly like the jokey comic of the cat. It was really funny. That just reminded me of it. Very different than Junji Ito's cats, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that book sounds very interesting. I look forward to hearing if you learn anything from the interview.
Yeah, I can't wait to read the interview. It's very cute. It's very, very pretty.
Cool. Well, I have a much different comic that I could talk about. I read a middle grade graphic novel called Squished by Megan Wagner Lloyd and Michelle Mee Nutter, who worked together previously on a book called Allergic that was very popular and is supposed to be very good, but I have not read yet. But I believe is about a young person who is allergic, like really wants a dog more than anything, and then finally gets one and discovers they're allergic. But I might not be right. That's just what I'm remembering it being about. But this one is called Squished, and it's about an 11-year-old named Avery Lee who lives in a small town in Maryland with her family. And so it's her mom, her dad, and then there's seven kids. So it's a very big family in not a tiny house, but a small house for seven people. So she has to share her room with several siblings. And she's the second oldest of the siblings. She has an older brother named Theo, who's 13. And she really is feeling, as the title of the book is, squished by living in such tight quarters with her siblings. There also, as one of the eldest, she has to take care of the younger siblings a lot because her parents are really busy with their work. And she loves her siblings, but there's times when it gets to be too much. And she is an artist and finds it hard figuring out the space and the time to get her artwork done. So she decides that at one point that she really wants to have this one room to herself, and she's ready to pitch to her parents why she should get this room. But then before she gets to deliver her pitch, her parents have told her brother he gets the room, her older brother. So she's very upset. The baby brother is going to move in. So that's going to add to her sort of caretaking abilities. But then she comes up with an idea for how she might be able to get a room of her own, but she'll have to raise some money to do that. So she starts trying to figure out ways to make money. And so that's kind of a big part of the story, is just the family dynamic and her wanting to have her own space. But then there's also sort of side plots with, you know, her trying to raise the money. She's working on a piece of art for an art fair. She has her two best friends, and there's some stuff around shifting friendships. So there's a lot going on in the story, but it was really enjoyable. The artwork is really nice. It's full color. I feel like the characters are really well-defined. What's up?
Is it a graphic novel?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a middle grade graphic novel. Main character is 11. I think it would be good for, yeah, that age range, like 8 to 12.
Yes.
Yeah, great book. Squished by Megan Wagner Lloyd and Michelle Mee Nutter. So now I need to get allergic and read that one. That sounds good too. That is my book for the week. Before we go for today, does anyone else have anything they were hoping to share today? Either a book or a bookish thing? I don't think I do. I mean, as always, save the date.
No, but I need children's... to know how to draw a soccer ball.
A soccer ball?
Yeah.
I can't help you there. A circle with some, are they hexagons? Is that the set shape that's usually on a soccer ball?
I think they're hexagons. I don't know. I'm not something like that. Really sports person.
I like watching soccer. I just don't know how to draw the ball. Also, I don't know how to draw anything, basically. I could probably draw a very cartoonish looking duck and a very cartoonish looking sheep. But aside from that, can I draw anything? Probably not. Maybe a flower. I could draw a flower. Wouldn't look very good, but I could draw it. But yeah, anyways, make sure to save the date for the Hudson Children's Book Festival, first Saturday in May. It's from 10 to 3 during the day. There's a ton of authors and illustrators that will be there with books ranging from picture books to chapter books, novels, young adult, some that are actually books for adults, but that are youth appropriate as well. I know we're going to be there.
What day is that again?
The first Saturday in May. I believe it's May 6th. Does that sound right? Sounds right to me. I'll check my calendar to be sure. Yes, Saturday, May 6th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's at the Hudson Junior Senior High School in Hudson, New York. And it's a lovely event put on by...
Wait, what again? I'm sorry.
Saturday, May 6th.
May 6th.
10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
May.
I know we'll be there. The library always goes, as do our fellow Columbia County Libraries. 3 p.m. There'll be lots of other... local organizations there too, sharing information about their summer programs, other activities, giving out fun stuff. So it's a great day. I'm so excited it's back in person this year after a few years being postponed due to COVID. So definitely check out HudsonChildrensBookFestival.com to see who's coming, get excited.
Would they be okay if I advertised it in my newspaper?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. Yeah, free advertisement. I'm not going to say no to that. But yeah, we're hoping to do our usual BookFest radio show the day before the festival on that Friday. So we'll make sure once we have the exact time narrowed down to let everybody know that you can tune in to us a little bit earlier that Friday. To hear us talking with some of the authors and illustrators who are attending. And I'm excited for my next reads. I've already decided what I'm going to read this weekend because I have one graphic novel that's on my to read list that I have at home. And I have one that's coming out next week. And I have a like an e-galley of it, like an early review copy of it as an ebook that I can read. And I realized both of them are graphic novels that I really want to read. And they both involve a school trip to France. So I'm going to France this weekend through some graphic novels. Hooray.
That sounds so fun.
Yay. Yeah. So one's a graphic novel memoir by Dan Santat. And the other is the next book in the New Kids series by Jerry Craft, which is called School Trip. I forget the Dan Santat.
New type. Kids?
There's a graphic novel by Jerry Craft called New Kid. I'm blanking on what the second one is called, but the third one is coming out next week. So I'm excited to read that. So yes, if you don't see me this weekend, it's because I'm in France. It's going to be so lovely. I should get a baguette or something.
You should get a souvenir for yourself.
Oh yeah, that'd be nice. What kind of souvenir?
Like I got two souvenirs from New York City. Mm-hmm. One from the Bronx Zoo, which is a snow globe with a tiger in it. And cute. One from the Eiffel Tower, which is like a little red Eiffel Tower. Mm. Well, not the Eiffel Tower. The Eiffel Tower in New York.
Yes.
Statue of Liberty?
Statue. Or do you mean the Empire State Building? Do you mean the Empire State Building? Yeah.
Yes,
Somehow I translated that in my mind to that was what you were saying. I don't know how I get a souvenir for an imaginary trip or a trip through books. I'll have to work on that. Maybe I'll get a souvenir in my mind. It can be really expensive and it'll cost me nothing in real life. I think that's the plan. Anything you all are looking forward to?
Publishing this.
Oh, publishing your newspaper? I look forward to reading that newspaper if you ever let me. So Amelia, are you looking forward to anything in particular?
I can't think of anything specifically that I'm looking forward to, but I'm looking forward to looking through this book I have, which you'll be impressed. It actually isn't brand new. I found this in my book stacks, so yeah. I'm technically not breaking the rules.
I'm okay with a little rule breaking when it involves books. As long as you're not like dog earing a library book or something.
Oh, what do you mean dog?
Of course not. I would never.
It's okay with your personal books, but library books. Mm-mm.
Yeah, me too. I've actually seen books at the Cooksaki Library because I don't go to the Hudson Library.
It's okay. You live closer to them.
I remember seeing a few books with those little ear thingies.
I've only dog-eared a book once in my life, and it was a school book. And if you know how I feel about this particular book, you'll know exactly why I didn't feel bad about dog-earing it.
I can guess which book it is.
What?
Oh, yeah, Claire hasn't heard about your distaste for Old Man and the Sea yet.
Oh, The Old Man and the Sea is a book by Ernest Hemingway, who was a guy who probably did more than just hunt lions, but I prefer to think of him as the guy who hunts lions because it reinforces him as not a fun person in my head. And Ernest Hemingway wrote this book called The Old Man and the Sea, and it's supposed to be very deep and very philosophical and have a meaning, but it doesn't have a meaning. And anyone who says it has a meaning is a liar. It's a book that's about over 100 pages long, but an old man chasing a marlin, a big fish, in the sea. And it has a cover that makes it look way more exciting than it actually is. It is only a little over 100 pages. It is a short story. Every page I read felt like a chore. It was so boring. And I had to read it for school.
Mm-hmm. Everyone that I've done this show with that has read it has hated it except for one person.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Toni Bellamy, or maybe Toni Bellamy Talbot. I think she might have a hyphenated name, but she is 20-something years old now. She was one of the original Bound by Books hosts. And everybody that came on the show talked about how much they hated it once they were assigned to read it. And one time they confessed that they actually really liked it. And so I've been curious since that day if I too would like it, but I still haven't read it. It's too long. It's like 100 pages. Just kidding. It's not too long. On that note, we're going to say goodbye for today, but we hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. In the meantime,
happy reading.
Bye.
Bye.